This is Russ Warner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. We are going to start off tonight with some NBA playoff action. First article, Celtics trounce Magic in Game 1. Celtics 103, Magic 86. Celtics lead the series 1-0. Derek White made 7 three-point attempts and scored a team-high 30 points Sunday to lead the Boston Celtics to a 103-86 victory over the visiting Orlando Magic in Game 1 of their NBA Eastern Conference first-round playoff series. Jason Tatum added 17 points and 14 rebounds for the second-seeded Boston, which received 19 points off the bench from Peyton Pritchard. Jaylen Brown, who missed the final three regular season games with posterior impingement in his right knee, finished with 16 points in 30 minutes. Boston trailed by 1 at halftime, but took control by outscoring 7-seeded Orlando 30-18 in the third. This is the playoffs, game of runs, and we had a good response in the second half, White said. I just try to stay aggressive. Obviously, Tatum and Brown get a lot of attention. Whenever I get an opportunity, I have to be ready to go. Stay ready. My teammates do a good job of finding me and keeping me involved in the offense, so it's a lot of fun when you got it going. We got a long way to go, though. Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla said that All-Star Tatum probably wasn't as efficient as he would have liked, shooting 8 for 22 from the floor, including 1 of 8 on three-pointers, but showed poise and also contributed on defense and rebounding. That's the most important thing. You got to answer the call defensively and physicality-wise, Mazzulla said. I thought Tatum did that, especially with the rebounding in the second half with 9 boards. Orlando's Paolo Banchero led all scorers with 36 points. He also had 11 rebounds. Franz Wagner contributed 23 points and 5 assists, but no other Magic player scored more than Jonathan Isaac's 7 points. Orlando's Wendell Carter Jr. grabbed 13 rebounds. Boston led 26-18 after one quarter and extended his lead to 12 points, his largest lead of the first half, when Pritchard connected on a three-pointer with 10:50 left in the second quarter. A 9-0 Orlando run sliced Boston's lead to 2 points. Then Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's three-pointer with 1:57 remaining gave the Magic a 45-44 edge. The Magic led 49-48 at halftime as Banchero scored 19 points. The Celtics scored 28 of the first 38 points in the third quarter and held a 76-59 advantage following Brown's dunk with 1:56 left in the quarter. Boston had a 78-67 lead entering the final 12 minutes. I think we got a little stagnant on offense, Orlando's Wagner said. That's when they're a really good defensive team. Then they got a couple of easy threes in transition. The Celtics led 89-71 early in the fourth and extended the lead to 19 points as the Magic never threatened. Boston was 16 of 37, which is 43.2% from three-point range. Orlando was 10 of 27, 37% from beyond the three-point arc, but was held to 3 three-pointers in the second half. I thought we did a great job of attacking the rim. We got to continue to go in there strong, Magic coach Jamal Mosley said. Didn't like the 15 turnovers for 24 points. You got to give yourself a chance there. So our ability to take care of the basketball is going to be very big for us against them. Game 2 of the best of 7 series will be played Wednesday in Boston. Next we have Mitchell and Jerome power Cavs past the Heat. Cavaliers 121, the Heat 100, which the Cavs lead the series 1-0. Donovan Mitchell scored 30 points, and Ty Jerome scored 16 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter, as the top-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers pulled away for a 121-100 victory over the visiting Miami Heat in Game 1 of their Eastern Conference first-round series on Sunday. Backup point guard Jerome, making his playoff debut in his sixth season, also dished out 3 assists in the final period after being named a finalist for the Sixth Man of the Year award earlier in the day. He made 10 of 15 field goal attempts, including 5 of 8 on three-pointers. Six-time All-Star Mitchell posted his 7th straight 30-point performance in the series opener, tying Michael Jordan for the NBA record. Jordan accomplished it twice in his legendary playoff career with the Chicago Bulls. Darius Garland scored 27 points, and Jared Allen had 12 points and 11 rebounds for Cleveland, which outscored the Heat 34-21 in the fourth. His largest lead was the final score, courtesy of Mitchell's 2 free throws with 1:23 remaining. Bam Adebayo had 24 points and 9 rebounds, and Tyler Herro scored 21 points for the Heat. Miami played its third game in 5 days, following play-in tournament wins at Chicago on Wednesday and Atlanta on Friday, that made it the first 10th seed to qualify. The Heat were within 95-88 early in the fourth before Jerome buried a 3-pointer, sparking Ty Jerome chants from the home crowd. He scored 7 straight Cleveland points later in the quarter to make it 111-94 before Garland delivered the dagger with 2 threes. Davion Mitchell had 18 points and a game-high 9 assists off the Miami bench, and Andrew Wiggins scored 14 points. Cleveland's reserves only had 6 points by players not named Jerome, all by Sam Merrill. The Cavaliers won 2 of the team's 3 regular season games, their only loss coming in Miami. This is the first time they have met in the playoffs. Their next game will also be Wednesday at Cleveland. And the other game from Sunday, Thunder poured on in Game 1. Thunder 131, Grizzlies 80. Thunder lead 1-0 in the series. Aaron Wiggins scored 21 points off the bench, and Jalen Williams added 20, as the Oklahoma City Thunder earned a 131-80 home rout in Game 1 of their Western Conference playoff series. The Thunder had plenty of blowout victories in the regular season, setting an NBA record for scoring margin in running away with the top seed in the West. They had also rolled past the Grizzlies in all 4 regular season meetings by 13 points or more. But this blowout was at a different level. Oklahoma City's 51-point victory was the 5th largest in NBA playoff history, according to ESPN, and the largest in the first game of a playoff series. "We were amped up," said Thunder coach Mark Daynault. "I gave the guys a lot of credit for the week of practice we had." Conversely, Grizzlies interim coach Tomas Iasalo expressed disappointment in his team's performance. "It's very hard to play worse than this," Iasalo said. The Thunder, with the league's top-ranked defense, smothered Memphis from the start. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., the Grizzlies' top 2 scorers, finished a combined 8 for 30, 26.7% from the field, and 1 of 10 from beyond the arc. Morant was 1 of 6 from deep. "We'll never play like this again," Morant bluntly stated. Memphis managed just 20 points in the first quarter, and things only got worse. Oklahoma City started the second quarter with a 23-2 run, scoring on 10 consecutive possessions to turn the game into a blowout. After scoring 20 or more points in each of his final 72 games of the regular season, Oklahoma City's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finished with just 15 points on 4 of 13 shooting. Gilgeous-Alexander was just 1 of 7 from three-point range, with his only three-pointer coming in the closing moments of the second quarter to send the Thunder into halftime with a 68-36 lead. The Thunder's MVP favorite didn't score less than 18 points in a game during the regular season. Daynault addressed the Thunder's massive win, despite their superstars' underwhelming performance. "That's what a team is," he stated. "You don't want to be dependent on one player for anything. That's what teams do. They pick each other up. Oklahoma City kept pouring it on in the second half, scoring the first 12 points of the third quarter. Chet Holmgren had 19 points and 10 rebounds, and Isaiah Hartenstein added 14 points as the Thunder outscored Memphis 27-5 on fast break points and delivered 24 points off 24 Grizzlies turnovers. Oklahoma City hadn't played in a week, while the Grizzlies played a pair of play-in games to reach the series, including one on Friday. "Thought we were tight in our stuff, set a good tone," Dagnall said. "But they played 36 hours ago and had an emotional game, had to turn around and play at noon today, which is a really tough turnaround. So they're going to be better Tuesday, going to be fresher. They're big-time competitors." Morant and Marvin Bagley III led Memphis with 17 points each. Bagley finished 8 of 8 from the field, including hitting a buzzer-beating shot from beyond half court to end the third quarter. The Grizzlies were just 6 of 34, 17.6% from beyond the arc, and finished shooting 34.4% overall. "There's no magic tricks," Ayasalo said. "We'll watch the tape and do things better the next time." Their next game is Tuesday night at Oklahoma City. In some action from Saturday in the series, Pacers start fast, outclass Bucks in the series opener. Pacers 117, Bucks 98. Indiana leads the series 1-0. Andrew Nembhard and Pascal Siakam combined for 27 points in a runaway first half. Tyrese Haliburton directed a high-efficiency offense with a game-high 12 assists, and the Indiana Pacers opened their NBA Eastern Conference first-round playoff series with a 117-98 thumping of the visiting Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday afternoon. Siakam finished with a team-high 25 points. Miles Turner added 19, and Nembhard had 17, helping the fourth-seeded Pacers gain the early edge in the best-of-seven against a team that had beaten them 3 of 4 in the regular season, including once on Indiana's floor. Giannis Antetokounmpo powered his way to a game-high 36 points for the fifth-seeded Bucks, who played without star guard Damian Lillard out with deep vein thrombosis in his right calf. The Bucks expect Lillard back either for Tuesday's Game 2 rematch in Indianapolis or Game 3 Friday when the scene shifts to Milwaukee. The series opener was never in doubt after an early 12-2 burst gave the Pacers a 15-8 lead. Nembhard had 6 points and Siakam and Aaron Nesmith a 3-pointer apiece in the early run. Siakam shot 10 for 15 and Nembhard 8 for 13 for the Pacers. And as I said, their next game will be Tuesday in Indiana. And next we have Knicks used 21-0 burst in the fourth quarter to win opener. Knicks 123, Pistons 112. New York leads the series 1-0. Jalen Brunson overcame a slow start to score 34 points as the New York Knicks dominated the fourth quarter in a 123-112 victory over the visiting Detroit Pistons in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Game 2 will be Monday in New York before the series shifts to Detroit on Thursday. The Knicks overcame an 8-point deficit by outscoring the Pistons 33-14 over the final 9 minutes and 16 seconds. New York seized control with a massive 21-0 run that spanned nearly 4.5 minutes and gave the Knicks a 111-98 lead. Brunson scored 8 points in the burst, all in the paint, and gave the Knicks the lead for good when his difficult 12-footer over Tim Hardaway Jr. with 7:16 left snapped a 98-98 tie. Brunson started 2 for 13, but hit his final 2 shots of the first half and finished 12 of 27 for the game. He also appeared to tweak his ankle twice in the final few minutes of the third quarter and eventually made a brief trip to the locker room. He helped the Knicks outscore Detroit 40-21 in the fourth. OG Anunoby added 19 of his 23 points in the first half, and Karl Anthony Towns contributed 13 of his 23 in the second half to go along with 11 rebounds and 5 assists overall. Reserve Cameron Payne added 14 points, including the tying three-pointer in New York's extended run. And the second game of that series was Monday night in New York. Pistons halt playoff skid in Game 2 win at the Garden. Cade Cunningham scored 33 points, and Dennis Schroeder hit the tie-breaking three-pointer with 55.7 seconds left, as the visiting Detroit Pistons evened their Eastern Conference first-round series, escaping with a physical 100-94 Game 2 victory over the New York Knicks on Monday night. Game 3 is Thursday in Detroit. After struggling through a rough playoff debut on Saturday, when the Pistons blew an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter and were outscored 40-21, Cunningham delivered a masterful performance with an 11 of 21 shooting from the field and helped Detroit overcome 37 points by New York star Jalen Brunson. Even with Cunningham's big showing, the Pistons nearly did not do enough to avoid folding down the stretch as they blew a 13-point lead, getting outscored 19-6 in a span of 5 minutes 55 seconds. The Knicks roared back from an 88-75 deficit and forged a 94-94 deadlock with 1:15 remaining when Brunson passed out of a double team to a cutting Josh Hart, who converted a dunk. On the next possession, the Pistons regained the lead when Schroeder hit a three from the left side over Brunson late in the shot clock. Brunson missed a potential tying three with 46.5 seconds left, and Mikal Bridges was off on another three-pointer with 11 seconds left. Detroit finished it off by sinking three free throws in the final 8.1 seconds. And back to Saturday's games. Nuggets stage late rally to upend Clippers in OT. Nuggets 112, Clippers 110 in overtime. Denver leads the series 1-0. Aaron Gordon had 6 of his 25 points in overtime. Russell Westbrook came up with a big defensive play in the final seconds, and the host Denver Nuggets rallied to beat the Los Angeles Clippers 112-110 in Game 1 of their first-round playoff series on Saturday. "Russ is Russ," said interim Nuggets head coach David Adelman. "Defensively, he was absolutely incredible." Nikola Jokic finished with 29 points, 12 assists, and 9 rebounds. Jamal Murray scored 21 points. Westbrook finished with 15, and Christian Braun had 11 for the Nuggets, who host Game 2 Monday night. The Nuggets took a 3-point lead with 2:24 left in overtime, but James Harden cut it to 105-104 on a floater in the lane. Jokic fed Braun for a 3-pointer with 59 seconds left, but Harden answered from deep with 27 seconds left. Gordon made two free throws with 10.9 seconds left, and Westbrook deflected the Clippers' inbound pass off of Harden. Jokic made two free throws with 6.5 seconds left to seal it. "Honestly, you gotta find ways to win ugly," Gordon said, "and I think that's what we did." Harden led Los Angeles with 32 points and had 11 assists. Ivaka Zubac finished with 21 points and 13 rebounds. Kawhi Leonard scored 22, Norman Powell contributed 12, and Chris Dunn finished with 11. And again in their Game 2 from Monday night, Leonard scores 39 as the Clippers even the series. Kawhi Leonard scored 39 points on 15 of 19 shooting, as the visiting Los Angeles Clippers beat the Denver Nuggets 105-102 on Monday to level their Western Conference first-round playoff series at one win apiece. Denver's Christian Braun and Nikola Jokic missed three-point attempts to end the game. Jokic wound up with a triple-double. James Harden added 18 points. Ivaka Zubac contributed 16 points and 12 rebounds. And Norman Powell scored 13 points for Los Angeles. "Tough fight," Leonard said postgame on TNT. "This is what the playoffs are all about." The best of seven series shifts to California for Game 3 on Thursday in Inglewood. Leonard bounced back from a 7-turnover performance in the opener on Saturday, a 112-110 Denver win in overtime. He hit his first 6 shots on Monday, missed a pull-up jumper early in the second quarter, and didn't miss again until early in the fourth. He scored 12 points in the final period and finished the game with just one turnover. Denver was the team plagued by turnovers in Game 2. The Nuggets finished with 20, matching the Clippers' total from Saturday. Jokic had 7 giveaways on Monday to go with his 26 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists. Michael Porter Jr. held to 3 points in Game 1, finished with 15 points and 15 rebounds for Denver. Jamal Murray scored 23 points, and Russell Westbrook and Aaron Gordon finished with 14 apiece. Los Angeles used a 9-2 run to lead 87-81 early in the fourth, but the Nuggets answered to retake the lead. The Clippers went back up by 4 with 5:16 left on a Powell floating jump shot. Jokic split a pair of free throws, and Porter hit a 3-pointer off a turnover to tie it before Parker sank a go-ahead free throw but missed the second with 3:31 left. Zubac's layup and Leonard's 10-foot jumper gave the Clippers a 100-97 lead before Murray and Powell traded 3-pointers, leaving Los Angeles up 103-100 with 1 minute 30 seconds to go. Jokic's 2 free throws with 1:56 left cut the deficit to 1 before Leonard hit another jumper with 54.1 seconds remaining. And in the final game from Saturday, Timberwolves rebound from slow start to cruise. T-Wolves 117, Lakers 95. Minnesota leads the series 1-0. Jaden McDaniels collected 25 points with 9 rebounds, and Anthony Edwards added 22 points, 8 rebounds, and 9 assists, as the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves rolled to a 117-95 victory over the Los Angeles Lakers in the opener of a first-round Western Conference playoff series. Naz Reid scored 23 points, and Julius Randle had 16, as the 6-seed Timberwolves improved to 5-0 in first-round games over the past 2 seasons. Minnesota shot 51.2% from the floor and went 21 of 42 from three-point range, while continuing its success from the end of the regular season when it closed with a 17-4 record. "It was just going out and playing with confidence," McDaniels said on the ABC broadcast. "I know all my teammates trust me. Edwards always tells me, shoot the ball no matter what, miss or make, and that's what I did tonight." On an otherwise ideal night, the Timberwolves saw Edwards depart to the locker room late in the third quarter with an apparent left leg injury before he returned in the fourth quarter. Reid was also injured late in the game. Luka Doncic scored 37 points with 8 rebounds, and LeBron James added 19 points for the Lakers. Their next game will be Tuesday night in Los Angeles. And now over to some Major League Baseball news, starting with the Arizona Diamondbacks. D-backs extra fortunate to thwart a Cubs sweep. Diamondbacks 3, Cubs 2 in 11 innings. This is from Sunday. This article by Nick Piacaro of the Arizona Republic. The Diamondbacks received a terrific outing from Merrill Kelly. Strong relief work and just enough offense to avoid a 3-game sweep on Sunday, beating the Chicago Cubs 3-2 in 11 innings at a chilly and rainy Wrigley Field. After the team's traded runs in the 10th inning, the Diamondbacks got a go-ahead single from Josh Naylor in the top of the 11th, then held on in the bottom of the inning as reliever Dre Jameson, making his first appearance since undergoing Tommy John surgery in 2023, recorded the save. Right-hander Ryan Thompson, lefty Jalen Beeks, right-hander Shelby Miller, and Jameson contributed for 5 1/3 innings with no earned runs. Kelly gave them 5 2/3 innings of one-run ball, working around a lengthy rain delay. He walked off the field in the 6th with a trainer due to what the team called right leg cramping. Right-hander Justin Martinez was not used in the game despite several situations in which he would have been the logical choice. It was not immediately clear if he was dealing with an injury or illness. He was seen in the clubhouse before the game. Leading off the 10th, Jose Herrera put down a sacrifice bunt in hopes of moving the automatic runner, Tim Tawa, to third. Cubs reliever Jordan Wicks fielded it and threw to first, but second baseman Nico Horner couldn't handle the throw, allowing Tawa to race home with the go-ahead run. After an infield single by Eugenio Suarez, the Diamondbacks had runners on the corners and nobody out. They were unable to add to their lead, however, as Corbin Carroll popped out, Gerardo Perdomo lined out, and pinch hitter Randall Grichuk struck out to go down in order. The Cubs wasted no time tying the game, as Horner led off the bottom of the inning by shooting the first pitch up the middle for a run-scoring single. The ball glanced off the glove of a diving Tawa at second base and went into shallow center field. In the 11th, Naylor ripped a single down the right field line to bring home Gerardo Perdomo, making it 3-2, but again, they were unable to add to the lead. With runners on the corners and one out, Tawa struck out before Naylor was caught on a second steal attempt of home. Naylor took a large lead off third and then broke for home, but Wicks noticed it quickly enough and fired home to cut him down on a close play. Jameson benefited from some good fortune in the 11th. Ian Happ led off the inning by crushing a line drive that went right to Perdomo at short. He caught it, then took it to second to double off John Barty. Jameson then got Kyle Tucker to line out to center to end the game. Unfortunately for Kelly, cramping in his legs has been a typical reason for an early departure over the past few seasons, though this might be the first time it happened in a start away from Chase Field, and the first time it happened in a relatively cool weather. Kelly gave up a walk and two hits in the first, including a run-scoring single by the Cubs' Michael Busch. He gave up nothing after that, retiring each of the next 16 batters he faced before catcher Herrera motioned for the trainer to visit the mound in the sixth. The game was delayed twice by rain. First, the start was pushed back by 39 minutes. Then again, three batters into the bottom of the first when the second was happened. Kelly and Perdomo walked off the field in what looked like frustration. Both spent time talking with umpires near the visitors' dugout as the ground crews pulled the tarp. In some other games from the Sunday roundup in Major League Baseball, Reds score 24 runs, roll over the Orioles. Austin Wins piled up 6 hits and 6 RBIs, while Nolvi Marte stroked a grand slam to highlight his 5-hit, 7 RBI day as the Cincinnati Reds ripped the host Baltimore Orioles 24-2 in Sunday's afternoon series finale. Austin Hayes supplied 4 hits and scored 4 runs, while Wins and Eli De La Cruz added homers as the Reds won for the second time in the 3-game series. Every starter in Cincinnati's lineup produced at least 1 hit, 1 run, and 1 RBI. Charlie Morton, who's 0-5, remains without a victory in 5 starts for the Orioles. He was shelled for 7 runs in 2 1/3 innings as he surrendered 7 hits and issued 4 walks. It didn't go much better for reliever Cody Poteet in his season debut. He gave up 5 runs in 2 2/3 innings. Next, we have Padres 3, Astros 2. Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a tie-breaking homer in the 7th inning and scored all 3 San Diego runs as the visiting Padres recorded a victory over the Houston Astros to salvage the finale of a 3-game series. Tatis also tripled while joining Xander Bogaerts and Martin Maldonado with 2 hits as San Diego won for the 16th time in 22 games this season. Gavin Sheets contributed an RBI single after replacing injured designated hitter Luis Arraez. Arraez was carted off the field in the first inning after being involved in a fierce collision with Astros second baseman Mauricio Dubon that prompted an 11-minute delay. Arraez was transported to Houston Methodist Hospital, and the Padres said he was stable and able to move his extremities. Arraez put down a drag bunt that caused Houston first baseman Christian Walker to head to his right to field the ball. Dubon went over to cover first base and caught the underhand toss from Walker for the out, but he and Arraez arrived at the same time and crashed into each other. Arraez took the worst of it and barely moved after the next several minutes. Next game is Brewers 14, Athletics 1. Logan Henderson allowed one run in six innings in his big league debut, and the Milwaukee Brewers set a franchise record with nine stolen bases to earn a victory over the visiting Athletics that claimed the rubber match of the three-game series. Henderson, who's 1-0, called up Tuesday from AAA Nashville, gave up three hits, including a solo homer in the fifth to Seth Brown. He struck out nine, walked one, and finished his outing by striking out the side in the sixth. Tyler Alexander tossed the final three innings for his first career save. The Brewers stole six bases during a four-run first inning off A's starter Jeffrey Springs, who is 3-2 on the season, who left in the third with right hamstring soreness. Milwaukee had just two hits in the inning, but was aided by three walks, two errors, and a run-scoring balk. We've already talked about the Diamondbacks 3, Cubs 2 in 11 innings, so we'll move on to the Dodgers 1, Rangers nothing. Freddie Freeman drove home Will Smith with an eighth-inning sacrifice fly to back Tyler Glasnow and six relievers as the Los Angeles Dodgers beat the Texas Rangers in the rubber game of their three-game interleague series in Arlington, Texas. Freeman's RBI flyout to left field came with runners at the corners and one out in the eighth to score Smith, who provided a pinch-hit single to start the inning. Reliever Chris Martin, who's 0-3, surrendered the run. Tyler Mahle and Glasnow hooked up in a pitcher's duel, but neither stuck around for the decision that was determined by the team's respective bullpens. Mahle pitched seven shutout innings, allowing two hits and three walks while striking out four. And that will put us a little ways past our halfway point in this evening's sports today. The next is the Angels 5, Giants 4. Joe Adell capped a four-run bottom of the ninth with a one-out, bases-clearing double, delivering the Los Angeles Angels a victory over the San Francisco Giants in Anaheim, California, and denying Justin Verlander his first win of the season. After Verlander threw six sharp innings in pursuit of career win number 263, and Sam Huff hit his first home run since 2023, the Giants took a 4-1 lead into the ninth on the verge of a sixth win on a 10-game road trip. But the Angels, staring at a sixth loss in their last seven games, rallied against Giants closer Ryan Walker, who walked Mike Trout and served up singles to Jorge Soler and Logan Hope to load the bases with one out. Walker, who's 0-1, then got two strikes on Zach Nato before hitting him with a pitch, forcing in a run. He got Adell into a two-strike hole before serving up a liner into the left field corner. Nato scampered home from first with the walk-off run, beating a throw with a head-first dive. Now we have Braves 6, Twins 2. The Atlanta Braves hit three home runs to back a solid pitching effort from Grant Holmes and earn a victory over the visiting Minnesota Twins to sweep a three-game series. Matt Olson, Drake Baldwin, and Marcell Ozuna all went deep to help the Braves extend their overall winning streak against Minnesota to 11 games. The Twins' Joe Ryan, 1-2, went five innings, allowing six runs on eight hits and one walk with five strikeouts. He allowed all three home runs. Now we have White Sox 8, Red Sox 4. Edgar Cuaro and Andrew Vaughn each drove in two runs as the visiting Chicago White Sox scored six runs over the final three innings to rally for a win over the Boston Red Sox. Vaughn highlighted his 2-for-5 performance with a two-run home run in the eighth, helping the White Sox break a five-game losing streak and an 0-7 start on the road this season. The White Sox also won when trailing after six innings for the first time since the 2023 season, as they went 0-79 when trailing after six innings in 2024. Wyler Abreu hit a three-run homer, and Kristen Campbell went 2-for-4 with a double for Boston, which had won three straight and 4-of-5. Now Marlins 7, Phillies 5 in 10 innings. Javier Sanoja homered and drove in 5 runs as the Miami Marlins avoided a sweep with a victory against the host Philadelphia Phillies. Senoia, who entered the day with 0 home runs and 3 RBIs in 27 career games, helped Miami snap a 5-game losing streak. Connor Norby added 3 hits for the Marlins, while Dane Myers had 2 hits and scored twice. Bryce Harper recorded 2 hits and 2 RBIs for Philadelphia, which had won its previous 3 games. Jesus Luzardo allowed 2 runs, 1 earned, in 7 innings against his former team, striking out 7 without a walk. Next is Guardians 5, Pirates 4 in 10 innings. Kyle Manzardo went 2-for-4 with a 2-run homer, as well as the eventual game-winning RBI, to lead the Cleveland Guardians to a victory over the host Pittsburgh Pirates in 10 innings. The Guardians completed a 3-game sweep and prevailed despite closer Emmanuel Clase, 3-0, surrendering 3 runs in the bottom of the 9th for his 2nd blown save of the season. Adam Frazier's 2-run double in the bottom of the 9th started Pittsburgh's comeback. After Isaiah Kiner-Falefa flied to center, Frazier stole third. Ke'Bryan Hayes then tied the game with a single to right to score Frazier. And next we have Mariners 8, Blue Jays 3. Both Cal Raleigh and Rowdy Tellez hit 2-run home runs, and the visiting Seattle Mariners defeated the Toronto Blue Jays. Dylan Moore added a solo shot for Seattle in the rubber match of a 3-game series. Tyler Hanneman had 3 hits for Toronto. And next is Yankees 4, Rays nothing. Max Fried dominated into the 8th inning. Trent Grisham, Cody Bellinger, and Austin Wells each hit home runs, and the visiting New York Yankees beat the Tampa Bay Rays. Fried, who's 4-0, did not allow a hit through 5-plus innings and exited after giving up 2 hits with 2 walks and 2 strikeouts over 7 2/3 innings. He appeared to have a no-hitter into the 8th inning before a previous scoring play was changed late in the game. Grisham gave the Yankees an early lead against Ryan Pepiot, who's 1-3, by hitting the 3rd pitch of the game over the right field fence. The 368-foot homer was Grisham's 6th this season. We have Royals 4, Tigers 3 in 10 innings. Bobby Witt Jr. hit a 10th-inning sacrifice fly as the visiting Kansas City Royals snapped a 6-game losing streak with a win over the Detroit Tigers. Mark Canha and Drew Waters each had 2 hits and an RBI for the Royals. Vinny Pasquantino drove in the other run, and Carlos Estevez, who's 1-0, pitched the last 2 innings to get the win. Detroit's Tarek Skubal, who didn't give up a run in his previous 2 starts, allowed 2 runs and 7 hits in 5 innings. He struck out 4 and walked 1. Next is Mets 7, Cardinals 4. The slumping Brandon Nimmo laced the tie-breaking 2-out RBI single in the 7th inning for the host New York Mets, who completed a 4-game sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. The Mets squandered a 3-0 lead before rallying back. They improved to 15-7, tied for the 3rd-best 22-game start in franchise history. The 4-game sweep of the Cardinals was the first since 1986, when New York won its most recent championship. The 4-game losing streak ties a season high for the Cardinals, who were outscored 19-9 by New York in the series. And finally, we have Nationals 3, Rockies 2 in Game 1, Rockies 3, Nationals 1 in Game 2 in a doubleheader. Dick Irvin scattered 3 hits over 6 1/3 innings, and Trey Lipscomb had 2 hits as the Washington Nationals beat the Colorado Rockies in the first game of a split doubleheader in Denver. Zach Veen and Braxton Fulford each had their first major league home runs for the Rockies. In Game 2, Aaron Junk had 2 hits, Mickey Moniak hit a 2-run triple, and the Rockies ended their 8-game losing streak. Antonio Satella, who's 1-3, tossed 6 strong innings of 1-hit ball to get his first win in nearly 3 years. His last victory came on June 19, 2022, against San Diego. Rookie Zach Agnes pitched a scoreless eighth inning in his major league debut, the fourth Rockies player to appear in their first big league game this season. Nathaniel Lowe had three hits for the Nationals, who finished 4-6 on their 10-game road trip. In college baseball over the University of Arizona, they were playing at BYU over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They lost on Thursday, 12-5. They won Saturday and Sunday, 5-4 and 7-5, respectively. And over at ASU over the weekend, they were at home versus Texas Tech again Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday, they won 10-4. Friday's game was suspended at 7-7 and completed Saturday, in which ASU won 9-8. But they lost on the Saturday's second game, 12-8. And in college softball, starting with the University of Arizona, they were at home against Texas Tech this past weekend. They won on Thursday, 2-1, but lost on Friday, 10-1 in 5 innings, run rule, and lost on Saturday, 5-2. And over at ASU women's softball, they were at home against Baylor over the weekend. Thursday, they won 5-0. Friday, they won 4-2, but lost on Saturday, 12-3 in 6 innings. In some NHL hockey news from the Stanley Cup playoffs first round, Eastern Conference, Toronto defeated Ottawa 6-2 in the first game of their series. Their second game is tonight. Washington defeated Montreal 3-2 in overtime in their first game. Their next game will be Wednesday at Washington. Tampa Bay and Florida will play tonight their first game. And Carolina defeated New Jersey 4-1 in their game one. Their game two will be tonight at Carolina. In the Western Conference, Winnipeg is 2 games up on St. Louis. They won their first game 5-3. Their second game 2-1. Their next game will be at St. Louis on Thursday. Las Vegas versus Minnesota. Las Vegas is up 1-0. They won their first game 4-2. And Tuesday's game will be at Las Vegas. Colorado defeated Dallas 5-1 in their first game. In their second game, Dallas defeated Colorado 4-3 to tie the series at 1 game apiece. Their next game will be Wednesday at Colorado. And Los Angeles defeated Edmonton 6-5 in their opening game. Their second game of the series will be Wednesday at Los Angeles. And in another article on hockey, U.S. women top rival Canada in overtime to win hockey world title. This from the Associated Press from the Czech Republic. Tessa Janecki scored the winner as the United States prevailed in overtime against defending champion Canada 4-3 to win the Women's Ice Hockey World Championship on Sunday. Janecki struck with 2:54 left in overtime for the Americans to claim their 11th title at the Worlds. Taylor Heath set up the winning goal in the gold medal game. With Sarah Fillier going to the bench, Canadian defenseman Jocelyn Larroquette was pressured behind the net and sent a pass up the boards, with Heath intercepting the pass at the right point inside the blue line and feeding Janecki to score into the open left side of the net. Janecki immediately celebrated her third goal of the tournament by throwing her stick into the stands. "It's just sweeter coming back from losing last year and being able to persevere," Janecki said. It was a bitter end for Larroquette, who became Sunday the first defender to play 200 career games for Canada and the fifth Canadian overall. Abby Murphy and Heath scored a goal and had an assist, and Caroline Harvey also scored for the U.S. "Shock and awe," U.S. goalie Gwyneth Phillips said after the drama. "I'm ecstatic." In some golf news, Thomas Enns' 3-year drought with playoff victory in RBC Heritage. This is by Doug Ferguson of the Associated Press. This is from Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. Justin Thomas ended nearly 3 years without a victory Sunday by making a birdie putt from just outside 20 feet in a playoff at Harbortown to beat Andrew Novak in the RBC Heritage. Thomas played bogey-free in dry, fast conditions for a 3-under 68, making a 25-foot birdie putt on the 16th that looked like it might be the winner until Novak, who grew up in South Carolina, matched him with a big birdie of his own for a 68. Novak, who has had three good chances to win in his last 14 tournaments, had an 8-foot birdie putt on the 18th hole in regulation that was left all the way. In the playoff, Novak missed from just outside 25 feet, setting the stage for Thomas. The putt was so pure that Thomas dropped his putter before the ball dropped, stooping over and clutching both arms to celebrate a win that felt long overdue. His previous win was the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in May of 2022. His game slipped, and he missed the FedEx Cup playoffs for the first time in 2023, and he was left off the President's Cup team a year ago. His game was back in order. He cracked the top 10 again, and needed only a victory to confirm his game was back among the elite. "I didn't realize how much I missed winning," Thomas said on the 18th green as he stood next to wife Jill and 5-month-old daughter Molly. Thomas and Novak finished at 17-under 267, 3 shots clear of anyone else. Novak was a runner-up in Bermuda last fall. He was right there at Torrey Pines in the Farmers Insurance Open. He was in the mix at the Valero Texas Open, and this looked like it might be his moment to break through until Thomas refused to be denied. "Winning is hard. It's really, really hard," Thomas said with a tinge of emotion in his voice. "I've worked my butt off and stayed patient, stayed positive." He won for the 16th time on the PGA Tour, and to his recollection, he has never had to make a putt of length on the 18th hole to win by a shot. "That was as fun as I thought it would be," Thomas said. They pulled away in the middle of the round from a tight leaderboard, a 4-way tie at one point, as they were joined by 54-hole leader Siwoo Kim and Maverick McNealy. Daniel Berger closed with a 65 to tie for third with McNealy, who shot a 70. Mackenzie Hughes had a 67, and Brian Harman with a 69. Defending champion Scottie Scheffler even got in on the act just briefly. He started 4 shots behind and was even for the round through 8 holes, but he ran off 3 birdies in a 4-hole stretch around the turn to pull within 2. Scheffler was running out of holes when he took on a high-risk shot, needing eagle to have a legitimate chance. That found the water, leading to a double bogey. He still shot 70 and tied for 8th, his 3rd straight top 10 while contending into the final hour. "I think I'm really close," Scheffler said. "I feel like I did a lot of things well this week. Just a few of the important shots I just didn't pull off. Outside of that, it was a pretty solid week." Thomas won the tournament with a birdie in a playoff. He saved his chances towards the end of the front 9 when he made 4 straight putts starting on the 5th hole, 7 feet for birdie, 7 feet for par, 8 feet for par, and just inside 15 feet for birdie on number 8, when he took on the trees with a 7-iron to give himself a chance. Novak had tree trouble and battled away, getting a few good bounces and remarkable par save from a sandy lie amidst a forest on number 11. He moves high enough in the world ranking, inside the top 35, that he should be a lock for the U.S. Open, and now needs to stay in the top 50 the next month for the British Open. "I'm not as frustrated as I thought I would be," Novak said. "I feel like I did a lot of good things. I'm pretty proud of putting myself in that position when I really felt like I wasn't swinging it that great this week. I thought I was a little more comfortable down the stretch than maybe I have been in the past. Justin went out and won it. There's nothing you can really do about that." And on the LPGA Tour, rookie Lindblad wins and 3rd start. Ingrid Lindblad of Sweden posted a final round 4-under par 68 and prevailed at the JM Eagle LA Championship on Sunday in Los Angeles. Lindblad, who was making her third start in her first season on the LPGA Tour, shot 21-under 267 for the week at El Caballero Country Club, with 68s on Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday, and a red-hot round of 63 on Friday. Lindblad shared the 54-hole lead with Lauren Coughlin and Japan's Eiki Awai, but Coughlin and Awai played in the final pairing of the day. Lindblad was pairing for a potential playoff as Awai and Coughlin played the par 4 18th. Awai was at 21-under after her fifth birdie of the day at 16, and Coughlin was in the hunt at 20-under. Neither player hit the green in regulation, and Awai's chip rolled past a pin and left her several feet for par to force a playoff. The left-to-right putt missed narrowly to the right of the cup, leaving Awai to settle for a 69 and second place. Lindblad, who is 25, said she was a little bit surprised she earned her maiden LPGA win so soon. "I mean, you should never not expect it, right?" she said on the Golf Channel broadcast. "But obviously got it done in a couple of starts. It's kind of crazy." Lindblad made 5 birdies through her first 8 holes, along with a pair of bogeys. She responded to the bogeys at numbers 3 and 6 with runs of consecutive birdies each time. Her final birdie came on the par 5 11th, and she came home with 7 straight pars. "I was still in some rough, but I made a couple of birdies on the front 9 and kind of just slowed down on the back," Lindblad said. "Obviously, I feel like I could have even had a couple more on the back 9, but here we are." El Caballero was hosting an LPGA event for the first time since 2004, when a tournament called the Office Depot Championship was won by none other than Swedish golf legend Annika Sorenstrom. The fact wasn't lost on her countrywoman. "It means a lot," Lindblad said. "She's done a lot for us in women's golf, and she's a big inspiration." Coughlin also finished her round with a bogey and shot 70, settling for a tie for third at 19-under, with Germany's Esther Heseloth with a 64 and Japan's Mayu Yamashita with a 66. In some auto racing news, Formula One was the only thing active this weekend. Piastri wins in Jeddah, takes lead in title fight. Oscar Piastri won the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix on Sunday to seize the lead in the Formula One World Championship from McLaren teammate Lando Norris with his third win in 5 races. Red Bull's 4-times champion Max Verstappen was runner-up, 2.843 seconds behind the Australian, after starting from the pole at Jeddah's Konaki circuit, but collecting a 5-second penalty for a first-corner clash with Piastri. Charles Leclerc was third for Ferrari's first podium of the campaign, and Norris clawed his way from 10th to the grid to 4th. Victory made Piastri triumphant in Bahrain last weekend and China last month, the first Australian to lead the championship since his manager, Mark Webber, in 2010, and also the first back-to-back winner this season. He now leads Norris, whose race was heavily compromised by a crash in qualifying, by 10 points after starting the night 3 behind. Piastri has 99 points to Norris's 89 and Verstappen's 87. McLaren stretch their lead over Mercedes in the constructors' standings to 77 points. George Russell was 5th for Mercedes, with Italian teammate Kimi Antonelli 6th, and 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton 7th for Ferrari. Williams had Carlos Sainz and Alex Albon 8th and 9th, with Racing Bull's French rookie Isaac Hadjar the final point scorer in 10th. NASCAR will be back in action next Sunday, April 27th, the Jack Lynx 500 at Talladega Super Speedway in Talladega, Alabama. 188 laps, 500 miles. The NHRA Pro Series Drag Racing's next event will also be this coming weekend, April 25th through the 27th, the American Rebel Light NHRA 4-Wide Nationals at ZMAX Dragway in Concord, North Carolina. And ITT IndyCar's next race will be May 4th, the Children's of Alabama Indy Grand Prix at the Barber Motorsports Park in Birmingham, Alabama. And in the Boston Marathon, Sharon Lachetti sets course record. John Corr also wins at Boston Marathon. Sharon Lachetti broke the Boston Marathon course record, and fellow Kenyan John Corr joined his brother as a race champion on Monday as the city celebrated the 250th anniversary of the start of the Revolutionary War. Lachetti outran two-time defending champion Helen Orbari over the final mile a year after losing a sprint down Boylston Street to her in one of the closest women's division finishes in race history. Lachetti finished in an unofficial 2 hours, 17 minutes, 22 seconds, 19 seconds ahead of Obari and more than 2 minutes faster than the previous Boston best. 6 months after winning Chicago, overall winner Corr finished in 2 hours, 4 minutes, 45 seconds, the second fastest winning time in race history, as the runners took advantage of perfect marathon weather to conquer the 26.2 miles from Hopkinton to Boston's Copley Square. After crossing the line, Corr was greeted by his older brother, 2012 Boston winner Wesley Corr. Although the race has been won by a pair of unrelated John Kellys and two different Robert Choroyotes, the Corrs are the first brothers or relatives of any kind to win the world's oldest and most prestigious annual marathon. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. I'm Russ Warner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcasts. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device. I'm Russ Warner, tonight's host of Sports Today, and a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona.